Good morning, church. The reading today is from three parts of the Bible. It's Leviticus 2, verses 11 to 13, Numbers 18, verse 19, 2 Chronicles 13, verse 5. Every grain offered you bring to the Lord must be without yeast, for you are not to burn any yeast or honey in an offering made to the Lord by fire. You may bring them to the Lord as an offering of the first fruits, but they are not to be offered on the altar as a pleasing aroma. Season all your grain offerings with salt. Do not leave the salt of the covenant of the Lord out of your grain offerings. Add salt to all your offerings. Numbers 18, verse 9. Whatever is set aside from the holy offering the Israelites present to the Lord, I give to you and your son and daughter as your regular share. It is an offering, everlasting covenant of salt before the Lord for both you and your offspring. 2 Chronicles. Don't you know that the Lord, the God of Israel, has given the kingship of Israel to David and his descendants forever, by a covenant of salt. May the Lord bless his word.
Amen. Amen. Oh, do you know I'm out of sorts this morning? Do you ever have out of sorts days? Do you ever have out of sorts days? I have an out of sorts day. I've had an out of sorts day in the sense that I got up out of bed and I came to my car and my car has been keyed all along the back and all down the side. So that's what we woke up to this morning. And despite having taught on angels and demons and the spiritual battle, I fell into my human flesh and said a few unchoice words. And that did unsettle me on the drive to church this morning. And then the second thing that happened on the way, out from nowhere, a bird hit the windscreen. And that really hurts the heart, doesn't it? And we couldn't even see it. It just was there, and the bird hit the windscreen. And spiritual man that I am, I said, for some reason, things always happen in threes. Be careful what you say. Because as we're driving through Los Montesinos, we're coming up, and then all of a sudden, a very old gentleman decided to put the brakes of my car to the test and pulled out of a side road right in front of us. And so I'm a little bit out of sorts. And to crown it off, I went to the hotel, as I do most mornings, for quiet contemplation, and I had two cups of coffee, both fuerte, which is both strong, so it's now affecting my physical body. So I pray now in Jesus' name that the Lord will use this vessel, impure as it is, with all its foibles and mistakes, and he will actually bring forth his word, and it will touch your hearts, and it will be like salt sprinkled upon you, and I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for being with me. And you would have noticed on the first reading, I mean, obviously the only version of the Bible is the King James Version, isn't it? Our technology wanted King James, and so up was King James. And then thank you guys, you managed to switch it to NIV, so that was absolutely brilliant. But you would have picked up from our three readings that the word salt appeared in all of them, and the words covenant or promise of salt appeared in them also. Every offering made must be made without yeast. Season all your grain offerings with salt. And there are pictures in the Bible, and whenever you come across yeast, yeast is a picture of sinfulness. Yeast is a very powerful thing. You mix with a bit of water, you have a little bit of yeast, and you put it in the dough to make bread. And what does it do to the dough? It permeates every part of the dough and it blows it up. And so in the Bible, yeast is a picture of sinfulness. And salt is a picture of savoring and flavor and of an offering unto God. And so we have the contrast between yeast and between salt. Now, Salt Church, we have been Salt Church, have we not, when we moved into this building on the 1st of September. A new name for a new location, a new vision. And I thought I would remind you, because it does take a while for people to really buy into and to understand the name that we have and why we have the name Salt Church. And one reason for our name being Salt Church is that it roots us into this whole region. When you walk outside of the building and you look left, what do you see? You see the great salt mounds down by the lake. And salt is a symbol. It's a simple but symbolic name. SS. It's a simple but symbolic name. Salt has great relevance to this region and also within the Christian faith. Salt Church is a name that roots us into this area. It tells everyone and ourselves that this is a permanent church. Amen. Salt is a preservative. It gives permanence to food. And at one time, that's all that you could do to preserve food. It's a picture of permanence. And salt has been extracted up and down this whole region for the last 2,000 years. And I'm sure will continue until the Lord returns. Now, a second reason why we are Salt Church is to avoid acronyms or abbreviations that might not mean anything. I believe that you can't really shorten Salt Church. You can't, I mean, you could try to say SC, but it's very unlikely that you would say it. Did you know that people like to say things in odd numbers? Three makes more sense than just two. So if someone says to you, which church do you go to? Or if someone said to me, which church do you go to, Chris? I will not say I go to SC. I don't think you will say I go to SC. You see, I think you would say, and I would say, I go to Salt Church. We like things in three, like Bill, for Bill's sake, IBM. You know, where did you get your computer from? I got it from IB. Doesn't make sense. But when you say I got it from IBM, then it makes a lot more sense. We like things in three. And of course, Trinity is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and it just rolls together. It's kind of God's perfectness. And so I don't think we would say I go to SC. I would say I would go to Salt Church. And the third reason that we have the name Salt Church is Salt Church actually tells a story. Well, why is it salt? Have you ever been asked that question? Why are you called Salt Church? Why? And I would say, well, did you know how important salt is to you and me to live? Let me tell you about a person who is the salt of the whole world. His name is Jesus, and he has come to give you life and to flavor your life with all good things. Amen. Can I have my clicker, please, Helena? And can we have the PowerPoint up? That would be good for people to see some visual pictures. Thank you so much. And so there's some lovely pictures there you would see as you were going out and turning left. And so Salt Church, it tells a story. And salt is so important. So the first thing, it's a simple but symbolic name. It roots us into the region. The second is it avoids any acronyms. It can't really be shortened, so we would say Salt Church. And the third reason is salt tells a story about who we are, and we can engage with those who do not yet know Jesus. And of course, for us as church, the name Salt Church reminds us as Christians, which I failed in abysmally this morning. I was more like pepper, or I was more like, what's that really hot chili sauce, Tabasco, when I saw my car had been keyed. You see, Helena is like salt, so she prayed for forgiveness over the person, you know, and we pray for our enemies, but I'm a man, and this is my beautiful car, and it's been upset. But you see, it reminds us that we are to be like salt. We are to bring flavor and seasoning to people's lives, even if they've upset us, even if they've done some damage to us. We are to be the salt that can bring great change to them and a real testimony to them. I don't know what I would do if I met that person. I might give him a kiss from Glasgow. Now, a fourth reason that we are Salt Church is that it is a generic name that has a meaning in the region and it's easily transferable to a new church congregation. And just to give you a little update, Salt Church Los Alcatraces has been going for about 6 weeks now, but they've had fairly regularly up to 40 people attending the church services. And Helen and I will be going down there to let that congregation see who we are and to talk about what the vision is and to talk about who we are here as we are building another congregation down the Costa Blanca. And so it's the name Salt Church is transferable, and actually we pray blessing on the church. We pray that God's anointing will be upon that church, and many people will come to know Jesus through that church. I did think it might show my lack of faith. I thought, well, it might take 6 months to get to 40. Well, they've done it in 6 weeks. So I'm now thinking that the church might grow to 80 fairly quickly, and so we continue to bless the church and we continue to pray for it. And you might remember that I want to talk about salt, and you might remember this picture. You might remember a sermon that I gave last year. It was titled Being a Sure-Footed Salt Seeker. And I got you to say those words many times, and I hope you haven't forgotten them. But that is an ibex, and that's climbing up in Italy, up a sheer rock face, because the ibex will go to every extreme to get salt. It needs salt to live. It needs salt for its mental capacity. It needs salt for its bones and its joints. And so we said that we want to be a sure-footed Jesus salt seeker. And if you haven't seen that sermon, you can catch it on the website. But to develop the theme about salt is so important in the Bible, and we probably need just a couple more sermons to fully appreciate salt and to appreciate why we are Salt Church. The role of salt in the Bible is very relevant to understanding Hebrew society during the Old Testament and the New Testament periods. Salt is a necessity of life. It was a mineral that has been used since ancient times in cultures around the whole world. It is a preservative. It preserves food. Did you know? I'm sure you do. It is a disinfectant. It is a disinfectant, and whilst it doesn't maybe kill stuff, it stops it from growing. It actually covers over it, and it stops it growing, and so that's why you put salt on wounds, or, you know, it actually helps the healing process. Salt is incredibly important. Salt, as we have read in Scripture, is a component of the ceremonial offerings that is given to God. Salt was also a unit of exchange, and that's where we get the word salary from. So Roman soldiers were paid in sal. They were paid in salt, and that's where we get the word salary from. And Salt Church in Spain is Iglesia de Salvation. Do you like that? Thank you, Sheila, actually stated that quite a long time ago. But Salt Church in Spanish is Iglesia de Sal, and we are a church that wants to bring salvation to people around us, don't we? So the Bible contains so many references to salt in lots of contexts. It signifies permanence. Salt Church, we are rooted. We are here to stay. We are here in the community. We are here to share Jesus around us. It speaks of loyalty. We are a loyal people in unity, one to the other. We support one another. We've had testimony from 5 people saying, what a welcoming church we are. And that the presence of God is felt in this space. Did you notice during the singing? I don't know. There was a lovely bass singing coming. I thought there were angels actually coming through some of the songs that the guys were singing up here. And it had such a lovely feel to it. Salt, it's durable. It shows fidelity. It is useful. It has value. And it purifies. So today, however, we know that salt is a cheap commodity, and we probably do not value it in the way the Bible values salt. Our salt lakes produce about 700,000 tons of salt per annum. And I'm sure you knew that. And if anyone hasn't yet taken the salt train journey, I recommend it to you. It's a sight to be seen. It really is fantastic. Our area is the largest producer of salt in the whole of Europe. And it can be extracted all year round because of our wonderful climate. A thought particularly to England at the moment, the places around the world where the weather is doing some horrendous things, isn't it? Floods all over the place. It's been difficult, and we have so much to be thankful for. Now, last week, you might remember that we ended our worship about salt. I don't know if you realize it. It is about salt. It's about actually adding flavor to our worship. And we ended our service with seven ways to worship God from seven Hebrew words. Again, seven being the biblical number of God. And here they are. And I acted them out. I cannot do that today. I was laying tiles yesterday on my knees. And even though I had knee pads, I cannot get down at the moment. But we kneel, we bow down. We can rave and be really noisy. Halal means praiseworthy. And then we can shout loudly. Shabak sounds like shout. We can shout. We can sing spontaneously. We can lift up our hands and we can raise our hands vigorously. God is great. And we did some of those actions. And sitting at the back, I could see some of those actions happening during our worship time this morning. But what I want to now do is to add one more. Salt. Salt Church. Add salt to everything that you do. Add salt to worship. Add salt to what you speak. Add salt to what you say. Add salt to every relationship that you are in. Salt is so important, and it's so important to God that we have the words from our scripture readings that God made salt covenants. God made salt promises. And in Leviticus 2:13, it said, "You shall season all your grain offerings with salt." You shall season everything that you give to God with salt. And so, didn't David do well? Do what is right, not left. I love that. David has a way of actually talking about giving to God. And we want to do everything out of a lovely rising heart, don't we? Seasoned with salt and giving flavor to God. We want to be cheerful givers. So you shall season all your grain offerings. You shall season all of your offerings with salt. You shall not let the salt of your covenant with your God be missing from your grain offering. With every offering, with everything we bring to God, let's have it savored and flavored with salt. Now, you know from previous teaching that a covenant is an agreement between two or more parties. A covenant is bigger than a promise. When God made a covenant, he made it an eternal and an everlasting covenant. And covenant is an agreement between two or more parties. And at the communion table, what God is saying, I want to make an agreement. I want to give you life. I want to give you flavor. I want to give you eternal life. Do you want those things? If you do, then come to me. I'll take your sin. I'll give you my righteousness. And you will receive eternal life. God's covenant is an agreement, but it needs us to agree with him. And an agreement that involves salt, this is where salt covenant comes from. It symbolizes an agreement that is perpetual. It goes on and on and on. It's incorruptible and it's indissolvable. The most well-known reference of a covenant of salt is in the relationship to God's promise to King David to make him a perpetual throne. What that means is, God promised King David, he said, from your root will come a person, a king that will last forever. a king who will be eternal. And of course, we know in our history that Jesus is born from the line of David. Jesus is the Lion of Judah from the line of David. And God made a perpetual, which means an eternal promise in Christ Jesus, that Jesus would be king forever. In the Near East, salt, it was a very expensive commodity, was considered indestructible in fire. It was considered indestructible. And under ancient Israel's sacrificial system, it's a critical element in offerings made to the Lord. It had to be seasoned with salt. God wants to tell us something today, how to live our lives as salt seasoners. And it symbolized the eternal, indestructible covenant that God has made with his people. Did you know that salt actually stops the action of yeast? It slows it down when you put it on food. In Scripture, leaven many times symbolizes sin, as I said earlier, and it symbolizes a rebellious attitude. The yeast of the Pharisees. Jesus said, beware the yeast of the Pharisees. They were rebellious people, leading the people astray. Jesus is one who loves people into his kingdom, and he wants to bring life. The inclusion of salt represents the preservation and the maintenance of purity in a world that can cause corruption. You know, later on in another sermon, we were talking that the church is the salt of the earth, and salt covers over rotten smells. You know, did you know that? Salt covers over rotten smells. And we are to bring the salt of the world and to show the life-giving purity of Jesus Christ. So the meaning of a salt covenant is an agreement that is meant to endure whatever the circumstances we find ourselves in. Salt is an ancient symbol of unbreakable friendship. It's a picture of being preserved, an unbreakable, everlasting covenant. So, have you got it? This is why we are called Salt Church. And when you think about salt, why salt? What does salt do? Salt is one of the five primary basic tastes on the human tongue that you can detect. The five tastes are salt, bitter, sweet, sour, and umami. Does anyone know what umami means? No, I didn't. I had to look it up. It means brothy or meaty. So we have these senses in our tongues. We can taste saltiness, bitterness, sweet, sour, and a brothy, meaty taste. That's probably why we like so many casseroles and we like gravy. And salt has other effects as well. It doesn't just make things more salty. It's really funny, this. You think if you just add salt, it would make things more salty. But adding salt to foods can help certain molecules in those foods to release their true flavor, thus helping the aroma of the food, which is important to our perception of taste. And we are to be a people who has a fragrance of the saltiness of the covenant of God through us. We are to smell like Jesus, amen, and to bring a flavor, to bring a smell into the world. And salt has been shown to suppress the bitter taste. So adding a bit of salt won't just increase your salty taste perception, it will decrease your bitter taste in any given food, which is why it's often sprinkled on grapefruit. Have you ever tried it on grapefruit? Before eating, try it, and you'll have an amazing result. Finally, when you add salt to sweet or sour things, while not shown to suppress sweet or sour flavors, as with bitter flavors, the salt will balance out the taste. And this is particularly why I like salted caramel. Anyone like salted caramel? You know, salt actually finishes that dish. So So it's not too salty, not too sugary. It actually makes it a well-balanced, fantastic meal, but only to be taken in small amounts. Every sacrifice given to God needs to be pure. It should be enduring and long-lasting. And actually, as Sal was what people were paid in, there is a sacrifice of praise. So we covered that last week, didn't they? Where I said it took me 20 years as a Christian before I raised my hands in worship. But once I'd actually done it and I'd broken through, it cost me something. It might have cost embarrassment. It might have cost what would people think of me to actually put my hands up. There is a sacrifice of praise. Salt is obviously used to preserve and to slow decay. And salt is known as aseptic. It's free from contamination and harmful bacteria. Salt can prevent infection. Any nurses here? Yeah, we've got a few nurses here who would be using lots of salt. So in ancient times, they used salt to keep items from spoiling. And in ancient times, there was no electricity, there was no refrigeration system. And so salt was the only way of keeping food from going bad. Did you know that they would wash a newborn baby in salt? Did you know that? Any midwives here? I don't know if they do that today. They would wash, in ancient times, in Jesus' day, they would wash a newborn baby in salt to cleanse the baby, to add protection around the baby, and actually to bless the baby. According to ancient customs, a bond of friendship was established through eating salt. It was said that once you'd eaten a man's salt, you were his friend for life. So next time you go around for a meal and you take the salt cellar and you put it on, that is a symbol of being really good friends for life. It's making a salt covenant of friendship. And the idea in Numbers, when Moses speaks to the priests about the covenant that God made with them, that whatever is set aside from the holy offerings was given to the priests. He made an everlasting covenant of salt to the priests of God. And that's a massive picture, because when you become a Christian, when I become a Christian, we become priests of God. So this everlasting salt covenant, what Jesus is offering us, is that we are a royal priesthood. We are the one serving God. We are the one whom God is well pleased and who will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Salt covenants were seen as lasting covenants, and they were important covenants. And so it is that we are making a covenant in this region. We want to be permanent. We want to plant salt churches up and down the Costa Blanca. And we want to be active in this region. Salt is symbolic. It shows this relationship of friendship that God wants with his people, and how his people are to be the salt of the earth. So there are many reasons by introduction as to why we are known as Salt Church. Salt is essential to life. Salt has been essential to this region for over 2,000 years. It has amazing properties. Salt has amazing Christian symbolism. God has made a salt covenant with his people to last forever, and he wants us to go out and be salt to this world. And so salt seems to me to be an eminently good name. It seems to me to tell a story about who we are, why we're here, and what we're seeking to do in the region. Let us pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you that you are establishing your covenant with us, your people in this region. Father, we thank you that you have called us to do more things than we ever thought that we might be able to do. It's not done in our strength, it's done in your strength. And Father, we pray that you would enable us to fulfill your word, that everything we do, everything in our praise, our worship, would be seasoned with salt. Father, I pray that as we come to the end of our service, you would send us out from here, O God, to do what it really says on the tin, Lord, that we would add flavor to life, that we would bring healing to difficult situations. Lord, that we would be preservers of your word. Lord, that we would reach out into the world around us, that people would be attracted to us because of Jesus Christ, who is actually the salt of the world, living in us and working through us. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Bless you.